Ramble.
Life is nothing but a slap in the face. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures.
Okay.
Because today we're talking about Rat Race.
Nice.
Rat Race.
That was a bar. Rat Race. That rhymes.
Rat Race.
We're in a race.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. This is a movie that we found out together on air that the three of us love, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't just like little lowercase L love this movie. I like capital L.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this movie meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And to see the glee on your faces meant so much. And so here, we haven't talked about it since.
Nope.
We're going to talk about it now. We're talking about Rat Race, the 2001 comedy, hijinks, caper, not a caper.
Yeah.
Not this.
Yeah, it's not this, not at all.
I only know of it as like a
the little food thing.
Like capers?
Yeah. Capers, yeah. They're great.
Wait, what are you using it as?
I don't know.
Is it a
think it's like a tiny olive.
No, I need to know what caper you guys are talking about, and you need to know what kind of caper I'm
What caper
about.
Are you talking about? Are
I'm
you
talking about the tiny little olive?
Yeah. Tiny
what
little
are
olives.
You talking about?
The tiny little olive.
No.
I'm talking about a caper, like a type of, it's a genre, like a caper. It's like a crime thing.
You're not as smart.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
You never heard the
no
word
one
caper?
Knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, no. I've heard the word caper, and I've heard of the food capers.
So what's that one?
I don't know what that one is.
But you know the one I'm talking about.
I know
about.
The one you're talking
it's
about.
It's a little salty ball.
It's a little salty ball.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up what a caper
is. I bet you it's like a... It's not a vegetable.
It's not a vegetable.
It's a legume, I bet.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like a...
Everything that's not a vegetable or a fruit is a legume.
Yeah. Oh, it's a plant.
Seed. It's a plant.
It's a plant.
Well, a plant's a vegetable.
Yeah,
what is
right?
caper in food? They're small flower buds
that
grow in the Mediterranean, and as they're picked by hand, they're fairly pricey, but they're a versatile store cupboard board ingredient. Say that five times fast.
Yeah,
store cupboard board, store cupboard board, store cupboard board.
You didn't have to actually prove that you could do that.
That I can't do it.
Yeah.
So let me hit you guys with the synopsis of Rat Race, because I feel like this is a movie that's been lost to time.
Yeah.
That's my hunch. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. The YouTube views on this episode will probably reflect that. Rainey, had you ever heard of Rat Race?
No, I have no idea what this
is.
Yeah,
damn shame.
No one in the office either.
Nobody, but it's so weird because Rat Race is a term.
Sure. Right.
It's like oh, we're all trying to do like a mad dash or whatever. You know, life in New York is a rat race or something like that. And not, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to offend you. But it's a term. Like, I feel like that movie has some form of social
commentary.
Currency.
And
not
no,
currency. That's what it means. Social
no
currency.
There's no other movie called Rat Race.
It's a good title.
Yeah.
It's a reboot or a remake of It's a Mad World.
It's not. It lovingly plays homage to, but it's certainly inspired by.
Okay, great.
So it's a mad world. I don't know how many mads are in there.
Yeah.
Similar plot, but Rat Race is a huge ensemble comedy where a bunch of people in a casino get a little token. Mm. And John Cleese plays the eccentric billionaire.
Oh my God.
Donald
Trump.
Gleason?
Donald
Gleeso.
Something.
Yeah.
You really threw me with the Trump thing.
Yeah.
John Cleese plays an eccentric billionaire who tells all of them, here are six identical keys.
12.
There are six.
Oh.
Yeah.
There is a lockbox in New Mexico.
At the train station in locker 001.
Inside is $2 million.
Cash.
Ready? Go.
Yeah.
And so what follows is a bunch of people racing across the country, getting into endless hijinks and shenanigans and wacky misadventures.
Lightly across the nation.
Yeah. it's 500
it's
miles.
It's Vegas to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Silver City. Silver City.
Yeah. Good memory.
Oh, my God. That was the only reason why I remember that is because it was the home of the gold rush.
Yep.
And it's Silver City. I was like, yeah, that's a fun play on words.
Aren't you a little Breckenmeyer?
Yeah.
What's Breckenmeyer?
He's a name of an actor who had that line and said Gold Rush in the movie. Oh. This movie has an incredible cast.
Incredibly
stacked.
Oh,
start the fuck
oh my
there.
God.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oscar Boom. Winner.
Oh, she's a fucking
Seth
EGOT.
Green.
Not an Oscar winner.
Nope.
John Lovitz.
Love it.
Did
Love
he
it.
Do something wrong?
problematic. Did he?
I mean, I'm just going to assume that everyone in this movie has done something
not
problematic.
Not our girl, Kathy Najimy.
Hocus Pocus' own.
How about our cameo from Kathy Bates?
Oh, Kathy Bates is electric in this
Oh,
film.
My God.
By the way, we just named 3 Oscar winners.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Boom.
Who else are we missing?
You've got...
Who's the hot blonde pilot?
Amy Smart. Who should have been a star. Brecken Meyer, who should have been a star.
What happened to him?
I don't know. We'll find out, hopefully.
Yeah. Rainey, make sure we got that as a fun fact.
Yeah, find out where Brecken Meyer... Actually, I do know what he's been up to. Oh. Yeah. He did very well for himself.
Okay, great.
Did he get into crypto?
No. I said he did well for himself.
Speaking of, I was just driving on my way here, and I saw a guy wearing an FTX hoodie.
Oh, and it's funny and ironic now.
Is it?
He probably found it in a Goodwill.
Oh.
Like, people buy it and wear it ironically now.
Ew.
Yeah, stupid. Who else are we missing?
Oh, yeah.
Who's Whoopi's daughter?
She's someone I don't know.
Oh, she was great.
She's great, though. And that's the thing. People who aren't stars in this movie are stars.
Great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Fuck us. Fuck us.
Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean in what might be his single greatest comedic performance, and I know that that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm saying a lot.
This Rowan is how I was introduced to Mr. Bean. I didn't know he, like, existed outside of rap.
Oh, because, I mean, you're not British, so it kind of makes sense. We wouldn't know about him because he's, like, a PBS character.
Anyone who's British and heard me say that this is that Rowan Atkinson's greatest comedic performance...
Whoa, you're about to say compenis.
Compenis performance.
Yeah.
Just ripped their earbuds out and
just, like,
fucking smashed the phone.
Wait, so he was an existing character in the world, but then they put him in it? Or was this his launch?
No, this was far from his launch.
Yeah, Mr. Bean had been a thing for years.
He's not playing Mr. Bean.
No, he's playing...
Legamo.
Enrico Pellini.
Classic.
But
it's a race.
I am winning the race.
Oh my God, it's a race.
First time I learned about narcolepsy. Like, this movie for me, can I give a little bit of, like, meaning?
Yeah, we haven't been able to do this in weeks and months. Yeah. What does this movie mean to you?
Okay,
the premise of this podcast initially.
Yeah, I have nothing but incredible memories of this movie.
Okay.
As I began to watch it today, which is the first time I've watched it in probably 20-something years, I immediately got this gut-sinking feeling where I was like, oh no, this is one of those films that we as girls in middle school pretended to love because our crushes loved this movie.
Oh, really?
Like teenage boys fucking every hangout, every party, it would be like, put on Rat Race and quote it.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, oh my God, I've never just watched this for me.
Wow.
And so today was like the first day I like watched it for myself and made lines that I liked memorable. Yeah. And it wasn't just an endless quoting of some fucking...
Wait, that's beautiful. You reclaimed Rat
country.
Race.
Yeah, I reclaimed Rat Race today.
I mean, mine was close, but this was one of those movies that were that was a little too adult for me, but kids with more lenient parents the cool kids had seen this movie because they had cool parents and all that stuff, and I had only seen the commercials, and so I was only quoting things from the commercials.
Wow.
And so, you dork!
Like a fucking
dweeb. And what were some of those lines?
I don't know.
You can't put him on the spot.
That's actually
really
bad.
After he just watched the movie less than a couple hours ago.
That would have been really bad.
I bet the trailer had, it's a race.
It probably did.
But I was curious, what identities have you guys ever decided to take on for a crush? Like, what have you pretended to love?
Oh, Kelsey. What identities have I not taken?
Really? Yeah, I totally thought that was a feminine thing.
No.
Are you serious?
No.
First of all, I'm a very feminine man.
No, that's true. You are a lesbian
woman.
I
think that pretending to like things is...
Universal?
Very universal.
Okay,
very
because
commonplace.
Guys make it more well. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, name 5 basketball players."
Don't
Why
say.
Why are you being mean to me?
Don't say guys. Say fucking assholes or dicks or whatever.
Assholes.
Like dumbasses. Where it's just we'll name 5 things. It's just like, okay.
Rainey, when you edit this, I need you to make sure that we mute every mic except for Kelsey so we can hear the line, "Don't be an asshole. I'm trying to suck your dick."
Yeah, that's fine.
They do that shit. They'll be like, "Oh, release Star Wars? Like, what poster? Which one?" And I'm like, Take your dick out. Like, why? So right. What have you guys?
Sequoia was wearing a
you did it for Sequoia?
No. Oh. I mean, sure, yeah. I like things now that she's introduced me to. But she was wearing a My Chemical Romance shirt, and somebody ran up to her and said, could you name 5 My Chemical MCR fucking songs? I was like, what? Are you out of your mind? No.
Someone ran up to her.
Somebody ran across the street.
First of all, you can't just run up to her.
Can't run up to a woman.
And she said,
with someone.
Bam! And knocked him out.
Yeah, I wish. She was with someone else, so they kind of just laughed him off and like walked away. But yeah, I mean, dudes are wild.
What have you adopted?
Yeah, I started in college. I started a Tumblr because of a girl I was crazy into, and I wanted to like understand
Tumblr?
The culture that she was into. She was huge into Lana Del Rey when she first came out. Like, I'm talking Video Games was the only song that dropped. And I came this close to buying Lana Del Rey's first 7-inch just in case we ended up dating.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I'm pathetic. Don't do that. And you know what? It was good that I didn't, because we did not date.
Lana Del Rey is pretty good, though.
Yeah. I mean, but then, by the way, I would have owned that 7-inch. But
what
then she
dated
a cop.
What do you mean when you say a 7-inch?
7-inch vinyl?
It's a vinyl. It's a single song vinyl.
Were you thinking of penises?
What do you think I'm thinking of?
Yeah,
absolutely. Penises. Yep.
Good for you.
What have you adopted?
I picked up the guitar because I wanted to impress a girl. Yeah.
Rick on the guitar?
On the guitar.
Were you on the acoustic or the electric?
I started on the acoustic.
Yeah, of course. You gotta.
Jumped over to electric.
The last place I see you is at a party. Being the guy
playing
with
Wonderwall.
The guitar. Yeah, that's the last place.
Like, it's
I've
just
ever
on my
you.
Back, and it's just like, I'm ready for the tunes. What's up, fellas?
You're like,
what's up, ladies?
Someone hand me the
Who's ready to get fucking serenaded? But I got really into John Mayer and shit.
No!
Yeah. John Mayer is actually a phenomenal guitarist.
Slow dancing in a burning room.
Yeah, 1,000% is a great guitarist, but the idea of you being into him, very funny.
Very funny. But also, okay, so this is just straight up true. My high school was the first like time I'd ever been around like white people in general. And, like, just,
and
I, was,
so, I mean, by the way, get into John Mayer, it tracks now.
I thought I went in just like looking around and being like, man, I should fucking learn about these people. And I started listening to John Mayer because I was like, I want to have something to fucking talk about.
That
and then
is
you bring
the
up,
best,
yeah,
you, like all encompassing. Like, the only thing, like, there is only Jack Johnson maybe could have been an even more encapsulating.
Also, I mean,
whites.
Jack Johnson is what you start off with when you start playing acoustic.
Jack Johnson's a gateway drug to white white nationalism.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
That's the title of this episode. People are like, what?
I imagine like young Garrick at the lockers and like these like bullies come. It's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, you know, man, just waiting on the world to change. And the bullies are like, You're all right.
Oh my God. The idea, first of all, that you had like never, I know this isn't true, but in my head, this is what I'm telling myself, that you had never seen a white person before high school.
I had never.
Is so funny to me.
I must understand.
And then
I never
for you to
fully
pick,
like,
of all the things to be like, John Mayer is the thing.
No,
it's
because
so
I was like.
Was it girls that were into it or just everyone?
No, I didn't know. So I guessed and I was just like, who's a white artist that is like into. They probably would be into right now.
You're so fucking
And then
wise.
John Mayer was the one, and I would bring up John Mayer, and everybody would be like, I don't fucking listen to John Mayer.
I know people hate him, but I still fuck with him.
He makes good music.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the John Mayer episode.
Yeah, right.
I would love to do a music episode where we go through discography.
Oh my God.
Zach, you're too cool with music. You'd make us feel like idiots.
Because, I mean, you grew up around it.
I'm cool.
Yeah
you are.
Let's get back to Rat Race. So, I had a different version than you guys, actually, very different.
Yeah.
Where I felt, until this moment, frankly, I felt like I was the only person in the world that knew this movie.
What?
Really?
No one in my school. We had a couple of movie theaters in my town, and brag, and it was in the one that was far away. Me, my mom, and my sister, we went to see this opening weekend, and so we were the only people in the theater. It was us and one other guy, and we were laughing, howling, loving it. And so we go, my dad has to see this film.
Oh, no.
Dad's got to see it. And not even that. It was his birthday, and we went.
Woo!
We went. I know the perfect surprise for Adam Kornfeld. I don't know why we thought that this was tailor-made for him. And so my dad is really great with directions, And so we're like, we're going to blindfold you, motherfucker. You're not going to know. For whatever reason, we were like, this is such a great surprise. He can't know where he's going.
He can't see.
And so we blindfolded my father, got him in the car.
Not as if you couldn't just not tell him which movie you were
going to
see.
No.
He couldn't even know he was going to the theater.
Correct.
Got it.
And so we...
Because if he pulled up at the theater, he'd be like, these motherfuckers are going to get me to see Rat Race.
He knew.
He didn't know what the movie was. No, of course. This is not on his radar at all.
So funny.
And so we blindfold him and we drive him like 15, 20 minutes to the theater and... He, like, kind of knows where he's going. And then we're like, we're seeing Rat Race. He's like, okay.
Sure.
This is clearly for you guys.
He was just glad to be
guys.
With his kids. He was a good sport. Right. Don't talk about Adam that way.
Yeah, but his takeaway from the movie was this is just a ripoff of It's a Mad World. Yeah. And then he made me watch that movie, and I'm like, this is boring-ass bullshit. Yeah. You can't look me in the eyes and tell me.
What's It's a Mad World?
It's a movie from
1963.
Thank you.
I saw It's a Mad World before Rat Race.
I mean, it's a classic. Yeah. It's cool. It's great.
Yeah, really.
Well, I guess
weird.
I gotta watch it.
Similar plot. An old billionaire gets in a car crash before he literally kicks a bucket. I remember that. It's a very wacky moment.
Yeah.
He tells a bunch of strangers about a treasure that he's buried underneath an X, and they go across cross-country trip to get it.
It is for Mads. Mad World.
The Mad World. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It looks like the poster for Rat Race.
They're playing.
Are we sure it's not a remake?
I know it's not, but it definitely is inspired by.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Like, there's no IP chain of title.
Right. Okay.
Copy that. Metro Goldwyn Mayer.
Good old Metro.
It just reminded me, I mean, this whole movie reminded me of Wacky Racers.
Yes, and fuck yes.
What is Wacky Racers?
Wacky Racers is a Hanna-Barbera. We've talked about it, I think, in the Speed Racer episode.
Probably.
But I... Fuck with Wacky Racer so hard.
Yeah.
It is just like goofy shenanigans and going across the country and then getting stuck. Mm-hmm. And I just love
it. I love that stuff. I love like a point A to point B rally of
a road trip.
It is essentially a road trip movie, but it's just like a race, you know? Like that's why Amazing Race is to this day, I will sit down and watch an entire season of Amazing Race. Regardless of like what I'm doing during that day,
I went on a date with a father
who was on Amazing Race,
whose brother casts it.
Oh my god!
Do you want to get in on this?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're doing so many non sequiturs.
Sorry.
You know what?
Oh no, I'm gonna go deeper.
That's what people want.
Go for it.
Saying I'm gonna go even deeper. This is a deep cut that I honestly we should say it on the tripod because like I don't even know that people know this. This is a good piece of Try Guys lore.
Yeah.
When we were at BuzzFuzz, the Amazing Race reached out and wanted a team to. They were doing the internet season. I think Tyler Oakley was on it and some other people, and they wanted a team from Team BuzzFuzz, and they asked the Try Guys to do it. And but Amazing Race, it's only two people.
Yeah.
And so we had this moment of like, oh my God. And this was early on.
Yeah.
And we're like, whoever goes on the Amazing Race is going to be the face of BuzzFeed. I mean, like, we thought this was like a huge star-making moment being on television. Oh my God. And so there was like some tense moments of like, who's gonna get it? And there was one guy who it really meant a lot to him.
He got it.
He loved travel.
Amazing.
And he loved his family.
Makes sense.
He really wanted to let us know that he needed to be part of this opportunity. And so we thought about it long and hard. And we said, Keith and I said, you know what? We're going to lose. That's why we would go. They would cast us to lose and be hilarious. If this guy really wants to go, let's pair him with Eugene. And they're going to have a shot. So they make a video, a submission video, but then they also ask me and Keith to make a submission video.
Oh, they picked you guys.
And so we do a video where the submission video, and I have it somewhere, I can dig it up, is basically being like, if you want someone to win the Amazing Race, don't pick us. Oh, we're going to be terrible. Yeah. We have soft bodies. But I hear that the losers get to go to an all-expenses-paid resort for 60 days. We're going to crush that.
Oh,
and we were
God.
Just like talking about how badly we wanted the vacation. And really, the video was like, pick the other guys.
Yeah.
They came back. They picked us.
Of course.
Of course they picked us. And so then we because this other person was real sad and salty about it. I don't even know if he knew about it. Anyway, we turned it down.
Great.
It was if you
can. What a good, loyal, shining moment of friendship.
That was not
the
returned.
We said, you can have us all
or you can have us none. And they said, we'll take none.
Okay, great.
People want to see friends doing stuff in an environment that they're not used to seeing them in.
Oh, me and Keith would have been so good on that show.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, we would have been so good.
I would have watched.
Yeah, but we would have been out in episode one. Anyway, there's something.
Your body would have
run to the airport. I'm not running
out.
In the airport. Ew.
You're like, I'm hurting.
I'm gonna walk.
Can I get the daiquiri early?
Yeah. there was a couple that didn't rush the entire time, and they still won.
Wow,
it was fucking sick.
I would be so.
It was just like an old lady and her daughter, and it was oh my god, I loved it.
So there's something irresistible about racing
movies,
racing shows. And what I would say, a huge pleasure for me in this film, we are talking about this movie still, is that there's a huge pleasure in physical comedy.
Mm. Oh my God.
Yes. And watching this movie last night, I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
We haven't had actual comedies since the Apatow era, which I love.
Yeah.
But the Apatow era changed comedy, and we haven't gone back to this since.
Yeah,
it's
I feel like Apatow comedies is what made more, like, what shifted the art of comedy closer to words and the literature of jokes and all of that stuff. Because, there were certain things happening to people, but none of the actors in those movies were like, oh, I'm super wild and goofy with all of my movements and motions and all of that stuff. It's like, sure, there were people who would get hurt or like fall down the stairs or something like that.
This is slapstick.
This is Cuba Gooding Jr. stepping on hot sands and then like bouncing around like he's stepping
ground
on lava.
Surfing.
Yeah. Let's just from the dome try and remember some of the wacky hijink setups. You have Seth Green in a field chasing a hot air balloon, tied to a hot air balloon, smacking into cows.
Right.
And a cow gets attached to the rope and they carry a cow across the
city. And then shoot each other in the face with their milk udders.
Yes. Yeah, udders. So that one falls.
That's just one of them.
Yeah.
You have literally the first scene is like 10 of them falling down the staircase to try and leave the casino to be like the first one out.
You have what I think is one of the all-time greatest moments in cinema, Mr. Bean being chased by Newman from Seinfeld, who has a small role in this, and he jumps up with his arms out and a train speeds by and he just goes
it just gets taken by the train, doesn't
it's like
die
a freeze frame nothing, but like off and just fucking train.
He just goes and then like velcros to the train and speeds away.
God.
Oh my God.
It's so delightful to see a movie that just, and actually I saw some of the negative reviews for this at the time, which were just like, it moves from one wacky set piece to the other.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say my pleasure.
That's the
fucking point.
It moves
from one wacky set piece to the other.
I was thinking about how many minutes did each storyline actually get? I was thinking about this from like a writer's perspective. They were like, okay, we have to get six like teams across the finish line. What is the most insane scenario and how can we build? This is our favorite word, a masterclass of heightening the scene. So if you're in improv, you understand that like you want to heighten, you want to make the stakes get bigger. So you get something like, you know, you have to catch a ride with a guy who's delivering a heart transplant and he's got the heart on ice and he has to be there at a certain time. How could you fuck that up? What's the most heightened version of that?
Someone throws the heart out the window.
And a dog gets it and they have to chase it. It's like, oh, what's the heightened version of that? They lose the heart. So then you've got Newman threatening to cut the heart out of Mr. Me. I mean, it is just, once you think they've stacked to the tippy top, this is a really good like structural comedy of trying to understand how do you do the thing that's called heightening.
It is like, it does feel like an improv game, very much so. But like, I do think that our tastes in comedy or in cinema in general are shifting, because the only reason why we're doing this movie is because of Cocaine Bear and why like all of those different stories colliding at one moment, and they're all like chasing after one thing. Felt
you're
like Rat Race.
Kipa-kaka.
Yeah.
Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear.
It's a rat race.
It's Rat Race. But that movie went up so hard. Like Cocaine Bear, everybody's talking about Cocaine Bear. It's just like, oh, this is like a delightful little trip.
I think we've come full circle and we miss it now. We want things that are silly.
Yeah.
We
like ensemble.
We love an ensemble.
We love a comedic cameo. I mean, this is a heavy hitter comedy, like legend cast.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talk about the heightening and the stacking, and I don't think any plot does it better than the John Lovitz, Kathy and Jimmy plot line.
Oh, my God.
Where John Lovitz is such an incredible piece of shit in this movie.
Yeah.
Terrible dad. From the first moment you meet him.
He drugs his kids.
And his wife.
And his wife.
The first moment you meet him, they're bringing their suitcases in, and the entire family is carrying bags except for him.
Yeah.
Which is just so, but... He tells his son says, I want to drive a Volkswagen Beetle, a buggy. Yeah. And he goes, you can't drive that. That's hit. That's a Nazi car.
Yeah.
The Nazis made that car. And then, so where does his story go? Okay, they're driving across the country. There's a Barbie museum. Turns out it's like Heimler Barbie, a Nazi.
Yeah.
So they're in a fucking Nazi museum.
Yeah.
Their car breaks down. They steal Hitler's car.
Of course.
A Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
And then he, they...
Gets soot on the steering wheel, and he puts it
he burns his middle finger. I know this scene very well.
Oh, why?
Yeah, because it was...
It's so funny.
It's so... And I had to let Zach say that first before I got canceled, but
It's
oh,
it's
high... The Jew had to bring that in.
Top-tier Nazi comedy.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was... It is him driving Hitler's car. He burns his finger on a cigarette lighter. It's his middle finger. He accidentally flips off a road-going motorcyclist and calls her a slur.
He accidentally flips
her off. And then she signals an entire bikers gang to fuck up Hitler's car, and which he said, you can't do that. This is Hitler's car. So now he's defending Hitler's car.
Yes.
You also missed my favorite part where they are finding stuff in the car, and the son finds a harmonica. He goes, you can't play Hitler's harmonica. And then the daughter finds sunglasses, and she goes, look at me. I'm Mrs. Hitler.
Kathy and Jimmy finds lipstick, putting on lipstick.
Say what you want about Eva Braun, but she had taste.
She
knew how to pick a shade.
Yeah.
And then when they crash, the
cigarette lighter shoots into his mouth,
burns his tongue.
So he has a accent.
He has an accent.
They crash into a World War II
veterans party.
And you have him, he hits his head on the steering wheel.
Smudges his mustache.
Gets a little Hitler stash, has a burned tongue, and is talking, just doing the... You know what? I'm going to say one of the funnier Hitler impressions.
Yes.
A Hitler impression we could get behind.
I love the slow burn of the World War II vets being like, I don't like this. I don't know. No. I hate this. And then they all get up. And then one old man pulls out a revolver and shoots at
it. I thought that was Robert De Niro. It looked exactly like Robert De Niro. I went, does he cameo in this?
No.
De Niro?
No way.
Imagine.
That would be crazy.
This is probably a decent time for us to pause and talk about a guilt of this film.
Yeah.
And that is that... a lot of the comedy is out of date.
It hasn't aged well.
It didn't age well somewhere.
And what I mean by that is that they're, for everything that we love, and we're going to talk about more, you just mentioned, they call the biker a slur. I mean, if you think the Nazi comedy is racy, I would say that ain't nothing.
It's actually, because that's...
Nazi comedy is clever.
The Nazi comedy is actually clever. It starts off with somebody saying like, we can't do this because that's a Nazi car and all that stuff.
Back.
And then it just it doubles down on the irony and the satire of like, oh, look at how ridiculous this is. But on the other side of things, sometimes they just do quote unquote jokes that are just mean.
Shocking.
It's just punched down. Trans moment.
The R word from AIDS.
Yeah. There was a bunch where it was just like,
different time.
Different
time.
There's a moment where Whoopi Goldberg and her daughter are dazed, and then they get onto a bus that's like clearly like, oh, they're making fun that they're special needs. And it's like, you guys had a great scene right there.
Yeah.
And this is, I'd say more than any movie that I've loved and gone back to, this is probably the most frequent offender.
Yes.
Where it was kind of like, pretty shocking last night.
Yeah, yeah, that was, there were some tough, tough
and
moments.
You know what's crazy is, like, that kind of comedy wasn't shocking back then.
No, we weren't
watching that going, like, ooh. People were just like, that's how we tell a joke, yeah, right?
That's,
Is that the expense of others, right?
That's like, funny.
I don't remember if I laughed at those moments in the movie, but I certainly wasn't shocked by them as a kid.
It's also not funny enough to where I'm like, man, I really do wish that we can go back to those times.
No, and that's the thing about those moments in the movie, too. None of them are clever.
They're very lazy jokes.
They're just mean. And absolutely, anyone who kind of like waves their stick saying, why can't we tell those jokes anymore? I'm like, oh, you're just a bad comedian.
Yeah. There's like a, you know, there's a circling that you have to do. That is also like the challenge of making a joke during these times is what's so fun.
Well, talking about someone that is not a lazy comedian, Mr. Bean, we discussed him before. His name in the film is Enrico Pollini. And from the first moment that he enters the film, he's the last main character introduced. And it is like electricity hits the scene. I just started writing down his quotes because he comes in and he goes, what a beautiful room. And it's just, it's not even a good line.
Yeah.
He's just a delight.
Yeah.
And he's in a room full of legendary comedians, and he is stealing the show. Yeah.
So if you don't know that Mr. I'm sorry to interrupt. If you don't know that Mr. Bean like was something before
this. No idea.
I recently just, a clip came across my
desk.
My desk.
Like you're an old news reporter.
Of an old stand-up bit he did, because he was such a silent star. Which I think also makes him the perfect match for this movie, even though he has plenty of dialogue. Like this film feels very much of the Buster Keaton era of comedy, very physical, right? So he is from that school. And it's just him air miming, playing drums, and then he'll like knock something. It's to a track, and he'll like knock something, and it goes like, and then he like, and adjusts it, and then drums again. And that's the whole comedy bit, and it is incredible. It's like watching a silent star do stand up.
Yeah.
He just is a one of a kind.
He's very fit, good in his body.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The first time I heard him talk regularly, my jaw fell on the floor. I was like, you mean to tell me this is a regular human? Like he's just a caricature all the time. So good in his physicality. His face, we say it, it's made for thumbnails. His face can warp into the most insane shit. Yeah. And so what do you do with a guy that can literally do anything with comedy? You give him fucking narcolepsy.
Yeah.
You make him pass out at random bits. It just seemed like that's the only thing that could make you go, ha ha ha, even harder.
Yeah,
to
you
Mr.
make him
Bean.
Sleep like a horse.
Did you drool on yourself?
Does it look like I drooled?
I
drank water.
You have a wet spot on your chest.
I drank water, but yes, I did drool.
Okay.
Okay.
Where else do we want to go? I mean,
my pleasure. I really, really enjoyed Whoopi in this.
Yeah.
Because
she
was playing a character that I've never seen her play before. I'm used to her being kind of like this confident, loud leader, or not even loud, but just confident as hell.
Yeah.
And this was like everyone's favorite auntie. Like
she
was slow. She wanted to hear about the sale. She wants to get the coupon. She was just so sweet, sweet. Never a problem in the way. She was slowing us down. She was the weight in the sand, dragging her feet, and her daughter is bringing her along on this journey.
Her daughter that she just met, by the way.
We skip over that.
It's also so fun that she's this delightful hippie like mom.
Yes.
And then she's also like, yeah, I mean, I was very young, so I gave you away.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But it's like that type of.
And then we never revisit their relationship.
No, we ain't got time.
We don't have time for it.
But if you think about it, the idea that they were, that she is adopted and just reunited does nothing for their relationship on the rat race.
No,
there's
totally irrelevant.
At all. But there's like a couple stories where it's just like this feels like a road comedy. Like it could have been like a
its own film.
Its own thing.
Yeah.
Did you clock the outfit that Whoopi was wearing when we first meet her?
Is she in a pimp suit?
It's, I don't know what it is.
Is it
she
Cat
has
Whaling
like a Shakespeare collar, like that kind of like big fluffy thing, but it's purple zebra print.
It looks like Cat Williams.
And then she's wearing purple shades, and it's just like not a part of her character that she's so fly, but you know that Whoopi was like, nah, I'm wearing that.
I'm not wearing this.
I'll wear that.
I'll wear this.
Or she came to set wearing that, and she's like, I'm not changing.
Yeah,
she's so fucking cool.
Yeah, but she played this very sweet character, and I really enjoyed seeing her that way.
And of course, you get what is one of the most iconic scenes in my heart, the run-in with Kathy Bates.
Oh, my God.
Small enough that we can call it a cameo. It's a one-scene bit, which is crazy to have Oscar winner Kathy Bates as the crazy squirrel lady.
Yeah, on the side of the road.
They try and...
Is this coming off of Waterboy or no?
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Waterboy
was 90s, right?
So then maybe. It may have been right after. That would explain why they cast her as the cookie lady.
I don't know how people know the year movies were made. You ever meet a freak like that? That's like, oh, yeah, 96. And you're like, what the fuck? You were sick. How do you know that? You know what I mean?
I have a friend. He's still with us, thank God. I had a friend growing up who is autistic, and he could name the day and like
year.
The day and the year that
a
movie came
out. That's a superpower.
Waterboy was 98.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, okay, so, that makes sense. Yeah. But it's this really wacky scene where she's trying to sell pet squirrels, and you know they don't take her instructions. Squirrel lady gives them a shortcut, and for whatever reason, this one line has stuck in my head where they're going in the directions, and they go, "All right, not bad, squirrel lady."
Yeah,
and that's like when I tell you that is a line that my sister and I will pull out of
say.
Like if it's just like if someone's doing a good job, it's not bad, squirrel lady.
You know what? This one reminded me that like hit the like gray matter in my brain from childhood was this movie made me terrified to get a tongue ring.
Tongue ring?
Tongue stud?
Tongue piercing. Yeah.
We got Seth Green and...
His brother, an actor who I don't know,
but
loved.
So good.
Pierces his own... He comes in as this character who has recently pierced his own tongue and spends the entire movie talking like this because he has a swollen black tongue.
Infected tongue.
That he pierced himself. And it's like, what does that add? I don't fucking know, but he comes in that way.
But you
and
have the Jay and Silent Bob of it.
Yes.
His name is
so
Vince Vailuf, V-I-E-L-U-F.
Where's he? Because he was
I know.
Pretty fun.
He's wonderful. He's so funny. And there's a moment where, because you hear him talking like this, and you're like, oh no, what are they making fun of? I don't even know. But by the end, I was like, you know what? It's goofy. I'm on board.
Right.
They don't have him on the poster for the movie.
I have a story.
Oh, nice.
He wasn't a star, right? I mean, he was this to me at least. He was an unknown, and he's
totally
so good, and he has some of the best physical comedy bits. Yeah. And the fact
his
that
scream.
That's really what it is. The fact that he can't speak in the movie, his scream
but
is
he can
so,
scream so full.
He's hot. He's a little hottie.
Okay, another quick iconic one to me, if we're just talking about iconic lines, is John Lovitz's family in the car.
Yeah. The little girl, I hate you.
Oh, a different... Well,
Wait, what are you talking about? The scene prior, though.
Yeah,
we're going to need a funnel and a...
Wow, so many iconic scenes in this.
What are you talking about?
The girl has to poop.
Yes.
And John Lovitz does not want to pull over.
Yeah.
And she says...
I'm prairie dogging.
Oh.
Yeah. I had no idea that that's where that came from.
And it's... Rainey, had you ever heard the expression, I'm prairie dogging?
I've heard I'm turtling.
Turtle heading it. That's from Fat Bastard in Austin Powers. Okay. Turtle head.
Yeah. So same idea. Uh-huh. But and they go, what's prairie dog? It's like, you know, when a prairie dog's dipping its head in and out of a hole.
In and out.
And then you have this great moment of John Lovitz and Kathy and Jimmy, who maybe are my favorites by how much I'm talking about them, who just go, huh.
Oh! And then they make the girl stick her ass out of the car window and shit out of the window. And that's the scene. Because she goes, well, just find an empty jar. And Kathy and Jimmy goes, girls don't pee in a jar. And he goes, okay, we're going to need a funnel and a jar. And she goes, I got to go number two. So she sticks her ass out the window. And as she's sticking her bare ass out the window, she's going, I hate you. And that one sticks in my brain.
Oh, my God.
We mentioned them before, but Breckenmeyer and Amy Smart. Yeah. Breckenmeyer, who you may know, you don't know, from Clueless.
Wow.
Kelsey?
I've never seen
that. We'll have a month of it. Don't worry.
Okay.
But Breckenmeyer, who also was Franklin and or Bash. I'm not sure which. I refuse to ever know which was which on that show. But I really And Amy Smart, maybe you know her from Road Trip, another Road Trip movie.
Just Friends.
Just Friends, there you go.
That's what it is.
Oh my God.
So good.
We need to do that
we
movie.
We need to do Just
we
Friends.
We need to do that movie.
That's Amy Smart. Movie. Both of them, to me, they should have been stars.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Breckin Meyer is a leading man in my heart.
Yeah. He's like the guy who was the lead in Entourage.
Vince.
No, not Vince. He should have been.
Oh, E? Vince.
I thought.
E. He should. He could have been in E.
He could have been in The Hangover so easily.
Oh,
instead of Bradley Cooper or something.
No, not Bradley Cooper. The one that was getting married.
Oh, well, okay.
See, I mean, he's not the leading man of it, but he still has that vibe, if that makes sense.
See, he's, to me, he's got like a little bit of like, what's his name, energy. Like, I feel like he could have been Cyclops and X-Men.
Oh.
You know, like
a reference I don't understand.
I feel like I wanted more from Breckin Meyer. I think he anchors this movie. I mean, he's like sort of our true protagonist up top and then goes away and then comes back.
Yeah.
I think the world of him.
What happened to him?
He had a very successful TV show, Franklin and Bash. It went for like 14 seasons on TBS or whatever.
So he's getting that.
What's royalty checks forever.
But what's the residual, like the, what's it called when it's like international world?
Oh, syndication.
Syndication
yeah,
money?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, okay. He's fine.
Good for him. I really like where this movie ends up. Can we like talk about it?
Yeah.
Before the end, there's a couple quick hits I want to get to, and then we'll. One, we didn't talk much about Cuba Gooding Jr. His character has a really fun intro where he fucked up the coin flip of a football game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's mad at him because they lost a bunch of bets because.
But like
that.
Again, why? Don't know, but it's such a good character.
Yeah, it only matters in Act One, and then never again.
Never. Yeah. It's but it sets the tone for who he is as a person.
It's okay. So this is like a weird little like writer's room game where they'll just have two different like scenarios or two different like character traits, mm-hmm. and there's just like job and then fuck up or something like that. That's what it feels like, where it's just like, job, referee. And then how did he fuck up? Coin. It's like, what if he fucked up a coin toss or something like that?
Yeah.
And you're just mashing those two things. Or it's just like, or like...
It works.
A priest that is also an alcoholic. It's just like, oh, what would that make? So, yeah, that feels like something super weird that you can build off of.
So real because they were so rich.
They were so rich?
Like detailed.
Detailed.
Oh, rich detailed. Yeah. I was like, I think they're poor. That's why they're trying to get $2
million. That's why they're literally in the rat race. Yeah.
What was funny with Cuba Gooding Jr. is that you go, okay, a character that messed up a coin flip in a football game. So maybe his plot's going to be like sports related, or he'll get a chance to redeem himself. No. He ends up driving a bus of an I Love Lucy convention with 80 Lucy impersonators.
So funny.
It makes no sense.
At all.
It is so funny.
It's so funny because it's just like whenever they fuck up or whenever he fucks up because he is a fuck up, everybody on the truck just fuck, or the bus. I keep on
three. Ah! Wow, the worst Lucy impression collectively.
I was like,
that's better. Okay.
Which one are we going for? Yeah. I was like,
But to hear like the most heightened, what's the worst fucking thing you could be stuck on a bus with?
Yeah.
Is a bunch of women like, impersonating Lucille Ball.
So good.
Yeah.
What grab bag fucking Mad Libs were they playing in the writer's room when they were just like, we're going to do this, whatever comes out next.
And of course, you get the needle drop of I Love Lucy. You get the while they like have these crazy hijinks. The hair catches on fire. They throw it in the toilet and then they knock over shampoo and then shampoo's in the whole bus. Yeah. Ah!
It's just like Lucy.
Just like Lucy.
An episode.
Yeah. Talking about needle drops, what if I told you that this movie featured not one, but two
Robert De Niro's
Baha Men songs.
What?
That's right. You know that this movie is of an era when you have Baha Men Who Let the Dogs Out.
Okay, great.
They're running, and then they also sing the theme song. They wrote an original, the opening credits, Rat Race.
Oh, wow.
I did think the music was
nothing
really
but
good.
A slap in the face.
Oh.
It's at the end credits, too.
Yeah. It's
I did skip past the opening because
the opening credits are
go.
Fucking endless. Yeah. I've never wanted Maggie sat down with me to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And she goes, first of all, this looks like a Jib Jab animation.
Yeah.
Which it does. And then she goes, this is they're really leaning into the opening credits, right? Yeah. And I've never wanted to skip credits on a movie more. Yeah. And I lost her. She by the time the movie started, she was on her phone and game over. I got her back for the prairie dog and bit, and that
good.
Was it.
Right. Okay.
But you know, we're talking about music. The movie does hit, I would say, a lot of low-hanging fruit songs. You have a romance scene, and they sing, I believe in miracles. Yeah, yeah. They have another romance scene. It's, do you believe in magic? So it's just, like, all of the, like, obvious song choices.
Yeah. All of the commercial songs that were, like, matching those vibes, for sure.
But at the end of this film, you get an electric concert, which we haven't spoiled yet. It ends at
Smash Mouth!
You know that this film was made in 2001 when it ends at a fucking Smash Mouth concert.
Yeah. Hey,
and I don't think people fully understand mm-mm. the chokehold mm-hmm. that All-Star had on us mm-hmm. as a society.
Everyone knew that song.
I don't, yeah.
Because, like, it stood the test of time. Obviously, now it's a meme.
Shrek.
Yeah.
But like, Rainey, what does All-Star mean to you?
Yeah, as our resident Gen Zer.
I mean, All-Star, I remember seeing Shrek in like elementary school, probably second, third grade. And I was like, this song is so good. But what I will say was I was always confused about your brain gets smarter, but your head gets dumber. Dumb. I was like, what is that? I'm bamboozled.
Oh, let me tell you, the first time I heard she was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of an L on her forehead. Mm. And I, like, did it. And I was like, the finger and the thumb and the shape of... Oh, my God!
Loser. Yeah.
But that song, it, like... I feel like it was our generation's We Are the World.
Yes. And that the ending is kind of that as well.
Oh, with them,
the ending,
like, giving
of this
the money,
movie, yeah,
giving is, the money to the starving children.
Well, you have to say, you got to set it up. So, if you want to know who wins the rat race, you have this great moment where Mr. Bean gets there first. He puts his key in the lock and then falls asleep because of his narcolepsy.
Yep.
Everyone else runs in at the exact same time. Everyone's trying to get their key in. They open the door. The money is missing because a side character who was in for a moment had taken the money. She was a hooker, and this guy, excuse me, sex worker. We used to say hooker back in the day. In my day, in my dad's day, because
canceled.
That's who told me about it.
Canceled.
You get the millionaire's assistant who had set this whole thing up and had been helping.
I'm going to go ahead
bets.
And save you some time. They crash into a concert.
Yes, yeah. they crash into a Smash Mouth concert.
Yeah.
And all the rat race contestants jump up on the stage with all the $2 million cash in hand to reveal they're at a Smash Mouth concert, which is for Save America, Feed the World.
Yeah, a benefit concert. They get coaxed into giving their money away, and then they feel good doing it.
And they make the billionaires who were betting on them this entire time, which is also a really funny bit about this movie that we didn't reveal, is that this is like Squid Games before Squid Games.
Yeah, it is like Squid Game.
It like started off the whole like I'm a rich person betting on poor people.
Yeah,
type
and
of
like
motif.
Other billionaires are gonna. This is a game to us.
Yeah,
it's not really about rat race.
I thought that was one of the funnier C stories going on.
Yes.
Is all of their weird bets, their weird side bets.
Where my favorite one is with the sex worker.
Yes,
where you are like, what is this weird scene where this sex worker is at the hotel in the casino with the assistant, and he goes. She's like, what are we doing today? And he's like, how much would it cost for you to get naked with me? And we put on sailor hats. Then we get in a bathtub of Pepto-Bismol and I clip your toenails and you shave my buttocks. And she's like, excuse me. And he says the whole thing again, but he goes, naked, sailor hats, bathtub, Pepto-Bismol, toenails, shave my buttocks. And then she goes, well, for a party like that, it'll be $3,000. And then, the billionaires come out.
Who had $3,000? Mr. Chen, congratulations.
Like, they are
he just
all
takes hella money.
With gambling it's addictions, so that this whole thing is a gambling addiction.
The movie paints them as like super evil. And can I just say that if there were a rat race, I think it'd be pretty dope.
Yeah. I'd watch.
I would watch the fuck out of it.
I'd watch.
Do Squid
I don't think I'd bet, but I'd watch. It would be a fun.
Would you participate?
Thing.
I'd love to be a contestant.
Oh, I would love to be.
I guess we're pitching ourselves for Amazing Race again.
Yes,
but I want
again.
It to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Just like right now, like all the walls fall
down. Yeah. I don't know. Because I think
and
that's part of the charm.
John Cleese saying go.
And I'm
go.
Yeah.
Anyway, Smash Mouth ruled the world.
Yeah.
The movie ends with a, hey, now you're an all-star.
All three of us are shaking our leg right now.
That's who we are.
The caffeine.
It's, you know, it's like the fourth movie to have Smash Mouth as an integral part of its climax. And you know what? It works every fucking time. There's so much more, I'm sure. But it's time for fun facts.
Yes. Facts back.
So you ask why the guy who plays Seth Green's brother was not on the poster.
Yeah.
The actor, I said his name before. Anyway, he had an agent who pushed for him to be credited as a star, and it backfired. And so as a result, they negotiated him off the poster, and he fired that agent. Yeah, it sucks. I don't really know. That's what it said.
Always know what your agents are fighting for, because sometimes they will negotiate like your downfall, or they'll push too hard, and then you just find out, oh, well, I didn't say all of that. I didn't want any of that. Why the fuck are you mad at me?
That's a inside baseball.
You hear us, guilty horse?
Yeah.
So we didn't give any credit to the writers and directors of this film. So this was written by Andy Breckman, maybe not a household name, but I was like, what has he been up to? What did he do? He was a writer on SNL.
Yep.
And the year after this movie came out, he secured that bag. He created Monk.
Hell yeah.
Which went, the writer of this movie,
checks out.
Which went on to win every Emmy for the rest of time.
Yeah.
As the reason why Steve Carell never got his Emmy.
Wow.
Yeah, because fucking Tony Shalhoub won every single year.
Tony Shalhoub's a very nice man.
And a very good actor.
Very good actor.
Yeah. This was directed by Jerry Zucker, who is...
Mark Zuckerberg's uncle?
Not even close. iconic with a capital I, one of the great commie directors, directed The Naked Gun, 1.5, 2.5, whatever.
Airplane.
He directed Ghost. He got Whoopi her Oscar.
There it is.
This is, you know, him later in his career, but showing that he still got it.
What a spread also of like movies.
Well, he did like mostly wacky comedies, and Ghost was his most serious dramatic.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we talked about this already. This is this movie features three Oscar winners in Cuba, Whoopi, and Kathy Bates. It's also the first movie to have two black Oscar winners in the movie, which is crazy.
Wow.
But then you think about how few black Oscar winners there are, and you go, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And then it's funny that you guys mentioned Seth Green. I mean, Seth Green we gave very little credit to. He's super funny in this movie. I love every bit of his. He wears some very bad hats, but otherwise he's great in it. You mentioned, I think you said offhand, that it's a very Jay and Silent Bob bit.
Yes.
And Kevin Smith revealed on a podcast, he read out a letter dated May 15, 2000 from Paramount Pictures with the script from Jerry Zucker saying, if you respond to the material, we would like you and Jason Mewes, who is Jay, to play Blaine and Dwayne.
Oh, there it is.
And Smith turned down the role but has no memory of it until he read that letter.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. I think they picked the right people.
Yeah, I'm thrilled with who they have.
You can't just have two people from different from another movie
like
in
Mr.
your
Bean.
Movie doing the same bit.
Yeah.
Because even if you have
it's
Rowan Atkinson doing Mr. Bean in your movie, then it's just like, oh, this is a Mr. Bean movie. It's like, oh, wait, it's not. It's called Rat Race. That's weird. And then you also have Jay and Silent Bob
that's
in your movie. Now it's like fucking Super Smash Brothers of movies.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, maybe we should do.
That would be pretty
a
sick.
Wacky race comedy.
Yeah.
That's only it's like Seth Rogen as his Pineapple Express character and Jay and Silent Bob. And okay, I'm
famous duos.
This is our Avengers Endgame. For sure.
Ironically, this movie, Rat Race, premiered the same weekend as Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
And
outperformed it.
Oh, great.
I believe it.
Now,
Jay and Silent Bob is also like just a fucking cult classic. People don't.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I don't always get that reaction. So
yeah,
he has better.
I gotta be soft launchy.
Do you always say it to guys that you want to fuck or have sex with, and they're just like, "Well, name five Jay and Silent Bob movies."
No, I've never tried to fake liking that.
Okay, great.
Kind of comedy. I don't understand it.
Now it's time for us to decide: is this film a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? We need to get like a soundboard at one point so it could be guilty.
You know, Miles does have that.
Yeah, but he hasn't programmed it.
Oh,
yeah.
But we did for Tucci Month. Yeah. Give us original music.
Give it to me, Tucci.
Who wants to kick us off?
It's for sure a guilty pleasure. It is just a shining example of it where I feel like there should be something on ratings now where they're like, these jokes may or may not offend you.
Yeah.
Go in with that knowledge and then have the time of your life or
we
don't.
We really should just start replacing like PG or R. Like we should have a special like orange star that marks movies that's like, we don't agree with the jokes, but overall it's a good film.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually renege my GP edition and I'm going to call this a pleasure.
Because
as much as I got to also say, obviously, the couple jokes that don't hit, this movie kept my attention, which is very hard to do, especially if you were a movie made before 2020. It really just had, the pacing was right, the jokes were on time, the comedians were comedianing, and they were doing it really well. So I'm going to go with Pleasure.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Garrick's side here, but it's...
Wow, what a surprise.
Nothing. Wow.
I meant nothing. It just felt like it belonged there.
But it's great. It's so fun, and if you are willing to forgive it for being an offensive relic of its time at times, it is just a delight, and it's a type of comedy that I miss, and I didn't realize how much my heart missed it until I was sitting down watching it. I really frankly assumed that we were gonna all watch it and be like, I was
not
a kid.
As good as it
doesn't hit the same, and it hits.
It hits because I feel like movies of that age were written by SNL writers, and they're still adults. You know, like these are still like grown
up professional comedy writers.
Grown ups who have adult sensibilities and are also doing that, and they're not. Because, like, I feel like a lot of movies that we go back to and just like, oh, this is so fun when I was a kid. It is a kid's movie. You're not a kid anymore.
Sure.
This was for adults.
As much as I adore the Apatow comedies, and that's probably closer to my tone of writing, right? I adore them. They're very much of their time because a lot of it is pop culture jokes and references and riffs. And this is, dare I say, timeless.
Yeah, it's an evergreen comedy.
People falling down the stairs will always be funny.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Gloria Allred's in this movie twice.
There you go. Yeah. Right? Like, it's just like, and that reference won't always be funny.
It won't make sense either if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Our kid, Rainey's probably like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
You have no idea who Gloria Allred is?
No, I don't know.
There you go, right? But
no, and I don't want to find out.
No.
But someone slipping on a glass and falling down the stairs, I mean, you're listening to this and being like, Zach, you're a monster. No, it's always
funny.
It's always funny.
Yeah.
So I think you should watch it.
Even the opening joke about him renting
a lot of porn,
a lot of black porn, ebony
Afro
porn.
Ladies,
I have a question because
it's called Afro Whores, by the way, which is
and there's a black family standing.
Yeah, right behind him, and it was just like the shock of him just being like, "Can you shut the fuck up?"
Never comes can you back. Stop? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
But it's just the,
nobody cares.
It says it right to your face. This is the kind of movie this is going to be.
And that is literally the first joke that they make.
By the way, so glad you brought that up because I was watching and I was convinced that the name of the movie was Afro Horse.
No.
And that it was like a movie about like a horse. Like, I don't know. And then I was like, why is he so embarrassed about like that he watched a black horse movie? And then it clicked. I'm like, oh, this must be porn. Did they fuck a horse? And I just, until this moment, I was so confused.
No. It's definitely called Afro Horse. It's just a wild thing to end off on.
Should we make, instead of guilty whores shirts, should we make a guilty horse?
Guilty horse.
I have been pushing Zachary for guilty familia.
Guilty horse.
And it's going to be like racing style and the font is going to be like,
okay,
kind
but
of
you will send
dripping.
Me designs that are so, so bad.
So bad.
First of all, that was not serious. That was me.
Did you design that?
It was me in Canva this afternoon.
Oh,
and
Kelsey.
I was making a logo for something and I went, and then I just put in guilty familia.
I showed you guys what Kelsey sent
Show
us,
them. I don't care.
You would go, you know what? Actually, I don't want a merch now or ever.
Not true. This was intentionally bad.
What was the burn I sent? I said, what in the New York Film Academy design?
That's too niche of a joke.
Now it's time for my pleasures.
My pleasures.
Is it my pleasure or our pleasure? Did we ever decide?
My pleasure.
I think we say both.
My
our pleasure. This week. I have one. I binge watched a series on Saturday afternoon that I had been seeing on information about. You know, I love my documentaries, y'all. I just can't stop. I'd seen information about this on TikTok. I tried to follow the story on TikTok, but it was so deep and it was so many twists and turns that I was like, wait, what? I cannot follow this shit. And it is on Netflix called The Murdoch Murders. And it is the case that happened, and this happened over COVID, so I feel like it didn't get a lot of media attention, but it is a story that spans 15 years of time that you will not understand and can't believe how things are connected. And when you think you've reached the pinnacle climax of this docuseries, another one twists and turns. And I'll say this, the person who is being tried for the murders, it's happening right now. So it's kind of cool to like have watched the series and then know I can immediately go to Reddit and spend 6 hours diving into it. It's giving me the same excitement that Making a Murderer gave me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I highly recommend, if you like true crime, that's not like every other fucking true crime out there right now, The Murdoch Murders on Netflix. And I think it's about 4 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I've really been enjoying Poker Face.
Have you now?
I really, really like that show. It is something that sets you up for like a linear experience. Like you have to watch episode after episode and all that stuff. And then you go to the next episode and you realize that this is an episodic show where it's just like everything is a crime of the week type of thing. It's made by Rian Johnson. It is about
Rian Johnson?
Yeah. It's starring Natasha Lyonne. She is just somebody who can always tell when someone's lying. And it's bullshit. Bullshit. And she can always she just has this weird sense of justice, and she's always trying to solve murders and all of that stuff, and she just finds herself at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Is it funny?
It is
a dramedy?
It is lightly camp, like all of his stuff. It is like a Knives Out thing every week.
Oh,
or every
wow. Feel like
and the first episode stars Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Look at your fucking mic. Miles was right. For some reason, just at the end, you do look ridiculous at the end.
Thank you.
Once you get to flipping it upside down time, you're ridiculous. Stop it. You're you choking yourself.
I really want us to hang from the ceiling so we can act like we're
Let's
doing a podcast
ready
while rapping.
To podcast.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Fuck, what's my pleasure?
You also just got married, and then we're on your mini moon, so you don't exactly have time to be consuming a podcast.
Yeah, you get also you can also just
tell people to go see Cocaine Bear again.
Get married, I guess that's a good. Okay. It's nice. Have a wedding. It's fun.
And then go see Cocaine Bear.
It's very expensive, and you get to party with all your friends, and then you get sad when it's over.
Yeah. Still sad that it's over.
Yeah,
I think of that like chunk of weekend as such a monumental time, but I won't tell you that often. I'll just feel it.
You know what? Develop film. That's my pleasure.
Oh,
did
nice.
You know I cried at your wedding in like a sad way when you guys did your first dance? I cried 100 times before that as happy tears. I was like, oh my God. I was crying the whole time. And then when you guys did your first dance, I got so sad that I was like the only single person there. And I went in the bathroom and cried a little bit. And then I slapped myself and I put water on my face. And I said, what are you doing? Get out there. And my sister texted me because I texted my sister and I was like, I'm sad because once upon a time, someone promised all of this to me. And my sister said, look around at all of these beautiful people there. And I looked around and she said, 50% of those people will end in divorce.
She said, what a rude thing to say
while
to someone.
You last. Oh. Enjoy being single while you can. Shout out to my sister Megan. You always know what to say.
That's not where I thought that story was going to go.
It did make me feel better. And then I had the best night of my fucking life.
Kelsey, does it count as being single when you fucked 2 people in the same day?
Yeah. Oh, that's like pinnacle single.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway.
I'm at Corny on all things.
I'm Kelsey Dare on all
things. I'm Gary Bernard on all the things.
Until next time. It's a race. I hope I win.